Hey St. Phillips and everyone else that's tuning in. We had a few technical difficulties recording our talk at church on Sunday, so I'm here now just to give a bit of an overview of what we talked about so that you can follow along, discuss it in your Connect groups and engage with our series through this summer. So this is our third installment of our Joseph series, reading from Genesis chapter 39. Have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do? Wrongly punished for something that was actually someone else's fault? Well, in today's reading, we'll see Joseph honouring God and living with integrity, but being falsely accused of doing something seriously wrong and being punished as if it was true. I was at a wedding over the weekend and the groom, right at the beginning of his speech, opened up by saying, "Mum and Dad, whilst I've got the mic in my hands, I need you to know that that thing that happened on the school bus in year 9, it wasn't me." And all those lines and withholding those privileges for 2 weeks, that was completely unjust and unfair, and I need you to know it before we go on with the rest of the speech and the rest of the wedding. Now, my friend was being funny and laughed it off, but it did make me think how deeply held those times can be where someone accused us of something that wasn't our fault. How it can hurt at a deep level when we're falsely accused. All the while, in this scenario with Joseph, we see that God was still with him. We know that God already knew what had happened, what really happened. And he continued to bless him abundantly. And as we talk through this now, let's remember that all of this foreshadows Jesus himself, who lived a perfect life, the only person that ever has, who lived in complete obedience to, and therefore in an unbroken relationship with, Father God. And yet despite that, he was falsely accused, mistreated by those he came to save, and punished in the ultimate way by being killed on a cross meant for criminals. Jesus knows Joseph's pain in being falsely accused. He knows our pain when we've been wrongly punished, because he went through it to a much greater extent. And he doesn't just know our pain, but he comforts us through it and turns all things for good if we continue following him. So let's start reading the story, picking it up in Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him for the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Joseph was sold by his brothers to one group, and they then sold him to another group, and he ended up working for this man, Potiphar. Potiphar was one of Pharaoh, the governor of the day. He was one of his captains, his generals. And so Joseph ended up in a really influential household. But he was doing really menial work, sold as a slave, sold to do the most basic of tasks. Picking it up in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. There's that line again. And he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Now remember that slaves would have lived outside the house of their master normally. Slaves would have been in outer quarters, coming in to do their work and then leaving the family to it. But because God was with Joseph, because he served diligently, he was brought into the house, brought in to the place where the family were. Let's pick it up again in verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Other people may have taken away everything from Joseph: his family, his home, his friends, his freedom. but they couldn't take him away from God's presence. They couldn't cut him off from God's blessing because God was with Joseph, even as a slave in Potiphar's household. He was blessed mightily. And we need to remember that too, don't we? That wherever we are right now, whatever position we're in, whether we think it's significant or not, whether it's where we wanted to be or not, God can meet us in that place and bless us mightily. Now, God's presence with Joseph meant that whatever he did prospered, and that meant that the household started to prosper too. We know now, don't we, that following Jesus means that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit continually, that wherever we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. I love that Joseph served diligently with a mop and a bucket as a slave. And because he served diligently, he was put in charge of everything under Potiphar's care, apart from the food he ate. Now we know that going into these places with the Holy Spirit empowering us, whether it's a job that we're thrilled about or one that we're not sure about, whether it's one that we've been dreaming of all our lives or it actually feels more like mop and bucket work, we know that the Holy Spirit goes with us, that if we serve diligently, serve wholeheartedly as if we're serving Jesus himself, we know that God's promise will come to pass. We know that we will be a blessing, that he will work through us to see his kingdom extended, to see his blessing reach the ends of the earth. Joseph had been given these amazing dreams that we thought about a couple of weeks ago. Dreams where others were going to bow to him, where he was going to be in a position of great significance, of huge influence. And yet here he is with a mop and a bucket in his hand. Now, I don't know about you, but that would seem to be the exact opposite of the dreams that God had given him coming to pass. And yet Joseph continued to serve God faithfully. He wouldn't give up on God because he knew his promises would come to pass. He knew the dreams would reach their fruition. And maybe we're in that scenario now, where what God's promised hasn't yet come to pass. Maybe, like Joseph, situations have actually gotten worse along the way. Know today that, like Joseph, you can put your trust completely in God, that whatever's going on around you does not supersede the promise that God has given to you. Serve diligently, serve wholeheartedly, and what God's promised will come to pass, and you will be greatly blessed. Let's keep reading from the end of Genesis 39, verse 6. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. Beauty can be a dangerous thing. It says here that Joseph is well built and handsome, and that leads to him catching the eye of Potiphar's wife. That got him in some hot water, as she wanted them to have an affair. She kept asking him, "Come to bed with me." Now Joseph didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that because it would be a sin against Potiphar. It would be a sin against God himself. That Old Testament character, Job, in his book, he writes at one point about making a covenant with our eyes not to look lustfully at anybody else. And that's the perfect antidote, isn't it, to what we see here. Making a covenant, an agreement with our eyes that we will not give in to the temptation that is lust. Because it has the power to undermine us, it can sacrifice what God's doing through us for short-term sexual satisfaction. and Joseph wasn't prepared to do that. In troubles and in ruin, as Joseph was sold into slavery, he didn't turn from God. And now, in temptations and into the allure of ungodly pleasures, Joseph did not turn from God either. The temptations that are in front of us, whether they're to cut corners maybe, to lie or cover things up, maybe the temptation of lust or greed or stealing something that isn't ours. We see in Joseph the answer to all of those temptations, because he was able to say no and no and no again in response to those repeated urges from Potiphar, his boss's wife. What I think is really interesting is that Joseph didn't lessen what was going on. He didn't say, oh, well, actually, you're in a position of power over me and I'm an inferior, so actually, maybe it would be okay if I did this. Joseph didn't say, oh, this is only a little thing. I'm only a slave and it'll only be once, so God won't mind, will he? Joseph said, sin is sin. Sin is sin against God. And I don't want to sin against God, because he's the one that made me and loves me. He's the one that's given me purpose and direction and promises for the future. For those who love God, they strive not to sin because it goes against his love for us, his design in our life, and his relationship with us. Now, we know that often we will give in. Often we will give in to temptation. We will sin, we'll make mistakes, we'll do things that we're not proud of. And we know that we serve a God who is rich in mercy, that we can approach his throne of grace and receive forgiveness in our time of need. Jesus went to the cross, went to that ultimate length, that we might be forgiven as he died in our place. And when we get things wrong, all we need to do is come back to him and say, God, please forgive me again. Give me your grace that I might not fall into this way of living again. But that doesn't mean that we give in to the temptations so that we can come back and cheapen God's grace in that way. Joseph said no and no and no again, and we are to do the same. When tempted to do things that are ungodly, when tempted to follow a path which is not the one God has laid down for us, we say no. And ultimately, as we see in Joseph here, as verse 10 says, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. We'll see in a moment what happened in their most famous interaction, but Joseph was so unwilling to sin against his God that he wouldn't put himself in a place where that was more likely. Let's continue reading from verse 11. One day, he, Joseph, went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to make sport out of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Joseph fled the temptation. He said no one more time, but knew that he couldn't keep saying no without at one point or other giving in to what he didn't want to do. So against those repeated urges, as he could feel his self-control waning away, he knew he had to get himself out of that place, to turn from the temptation and to run. Joseph's character was built one decision at a time. the decision to say no on all those previous occasions, and then the decision to say no and to get out of temptation's way even today. In the New Testament, James chapter 4 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And I think that's what we see Joseph doing here. Resisting the devil, resisting the temptations that come from the enemy, resisting the inclination to go against what God has laid out. But Joseph's no was the thing that enabled him to grow. Because we want to say no to the thing that God says no to, because we know that everything God says is for our benefit. It's for our good. Get yourself out of temptation's way when you're struggling. If getting into certain scenarios is causing you to give in to sin more and more and more, then maybe now's a good chance to think through, how could I avoid that situation? How could I get out of that scenario? How could I be around those people slightly less, in order that I can grow in my relationship with God, I can forgo that sin, and I can live more in line with the calling that he has given me. Potiphar's wife takes Joseph's coat as he runs and uses it to lie about what really happened. Isn't it interesting that Joseph's first technicolor coat was used to lie that he died to his dad? And now his second coat was used to lie that he had tried to have an affair with his master's wife. False accusation was made, and it cost Joseph his relative freedom. Potiphar believed his wife and sent Joseph to prison. As I said at the beginning, God knows what really happened. And Joseph knew it was to God that he was ultimately accountable. So if you've ever done the right thing, and it's not brought about the right consequence, know that God sees it and knows it and understands it. And know all the more that he's pleased with you, even if others aren't. Jesus suffered and was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus' obedience took him to the cross, that we might be forgiven of all those times we've given in. And that we might have the power of his Holy Spirit to say no, to live into a life of self-control and godliness. Romans 8 verse 28 says that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. We see here God working together the situations that were going on around Joseph for his good. Not all of them were good in and of themselves, but God used them to see his blessing reach that household, to see Joseph grow in obedience and trust. And ultimately, as the story continues, we'll see how it continues on through the prison into more and more blessing, into the promises of God being fulfilled.